Today, and I should have looked, I wasn't planning on saying anything about this until this morning, just a few minutes ago. And so I probably don't have the quote exactly right of what he said, but how many of you heard his response? Was it yesterday? Time goes by so fast. Maybe it was Friday. I think it was yesterday that they've agreed. These 190 countries have agreed to work together on this whole climate change. I think they're going to spend like $100 billion or something like that. I mean, it's just ridiculous stuff. And there's nothing like if a country doesn't do all of the things that they're talking about, there's no ramifications for it anyway. It's smoke and mirrors garbage. But anyway, our president made a response to this agreement. And he said something to this effect. He said this, I forgot if he called it an agreement or whatever it was, but this, speaking of this agreement, gives us the best chance to save our planet. This climate change, whatever this thing is, agreement, gives us the best chance to save our planet. Now, to be honest, when I heard him say that, I was like, dear Lord, man. I mean, does it get it any weirder? I mean, it's every day. It's like, gets weirder and weirder. So, this morning, during worship, we were singing a song about the presence of God, I think. And matter of fact, I was even getting that sense of a prophetic song of the presence, and I forgot exactly how it was worded that Matt was singing, and I heard the Lord. I'm just going to tell you what I've been doing, okay? Not just when, about that. Let me take a break from that for just a second and get back to what I heard the president say. Gosh, how can I explain this? You remember the story with, gosh, this is what happens when you don't really prepare yourself. You just speak what, was it Balaam that, and I forgot the kings and all that, that it was Balaam, right, that was given, was asked to prophesy against God's people, and he couldn't, right? Yeah, the only thing that came out was a blessing. That's just a funny. I love that story. It's just hilarious to me. It's so God. I bet God had a good time with that too. And so understanding that or that concept, and I'm not real good at this, but what I've been doing is listening for prophetic words from the Lord coming from people and yeah. Well, I was probably going to use it. I was just trying to figure out how to prophetic words and statements that are coming from God that are coming from yes, unusual sources like a donkey. And or an elephant, yeah. That's good. So this morning, as that prophetic, and that's how I received that, as a prophetic song that we were singing. The statement of our president, for good or bad or right or wrong, is a mouthpiece for our nation. And I was reminded of that statement he made about climate change. And it's the best, their so-called agreement is the best. Did you have a quote? Did you find it?
The best chance we have to save the one planet we've got.
the one planet we've got. Turning point for the world. What? Oh. Oh, they call it the Paris Agreement. Okay. So one of the things, like I said, I've been doing is listening for the voice of Lord, the Lord coming through unconventional, what was the word you used? Unusual sources, like a donkey, an elephant, non-believers, believers, whatever. Titles of movies, titles of a book. The Lord speaks in so many different ways. And so what I heard from this prophetic statement is the presence of, and remember the song that we were singing, that the presence of God is the best chance we have that will change the climate to save our planet. And haven't we been talking about that for a number of years, of being climate changers, of changing the atmosphere? You know, I completely do not believe in global warming, climate change, or any of this other nonsense that is being propagated out there. And there's no sound scientific evidence for it. But I remember several years ago when this, you know, it used to be called global warming. Now it's, you know, since if it snows, now we got to change it to climate change. It's just climate change. So I remember when it was global warming and this issue came out, this thought came to me, and I don't, you know if it just was the Lord speaking to me, if it was just a weird thought or whatever. I got it somewhere else. I don't know. But what if, and I'm not saying this is true, but what if the temperature was rising? In other words, the climate was changing because Christ is getting closer. The sun is getting closer. That would warm, that would change the climate in a hurry. I do believe that in part that that's true, because what seems scattered now, the Lord is bringing together. Once it comes together, it is going to change the atmosphere. It's going to change the climates of our neighborhoods, of our cities, and of our nations. Amen? Praise God. Y'all ready for Christmas? Whatever that means, being ready. Well, I think it was a little over a week ago, Matt and I had a conversation, and Matt shared some things with me, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is so good. It was so right on that, would you please share that with our congregation? And that's what he's going to do right now. So welcome our homeboy, Matthew. Hey, also, I want to say this. Jennifer, congratulations. Jennifer graduated nursing school, and man, well, that's just an incredible accomplishment. It really is. You know, I think it's an incredible accomplishment when you first get out of high school, but when you wait just, you know, a few more months, it gets a little bit more difficult. And so, congratulations! What an awesome, awesome accomplishment. Thanks, bro. I probably should have gave you this.
I'm doing the Joe philosophy of winging it this morning. Let me tell you a story first. A lot of years ago, oh, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years after Jennifer and I got married and we moved into our house. Because what God's been dealing with me largely is, I had to label, it's peace in the storm is what it is. And a lot of years ago, I can remember... After we moved into our house, I had my father-in-law, he had this old boat. It was a tri-hull boat, real old. And it had been sitting out in his field for years. And a buddy of mine that was working with me at the time, I had been fishing with him a lot. And I wasn't a huge fisherman, but I'd go with him several times a week and fish tournaments. And it was more about relationship. And one day my father-in-law was talking about the boat, and this guy was with me. And he's like, man, we need to go get that boat and fix it up so you'll have a boat. And honestly, I didn't really care about having the boat to go out on my own, but he wanted to do it. So we brought it to the house to work on it. And I remember the first time we climbed in the boat, my foot just literally like went through the floor of the boat. And I'm looking at this boat and I'm going, Sly, I don't think we're going to fix this boat. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, we're going to fix this boat. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. And so he decided we were going to get some plywood and just put it in the boat, put new carpet in it. And we probably worked on it for 6 months into the winter, and the spring started coming in. I mean, the boat was so bad that everybody knows what a bilge pump is. Wyatt knows what it is. Anyway, he ended up having to create something because I guess there was so much rot inside the boat that the bilge pump would get stuck. And so he created this thing, this filter screen around the bilge pump that it would, and I tell you all this because here comes the moment in a second, but he created this screen so that the bilge pump could bypass all that rot and still pump water out. And then one night, it was early evening, and he said, tonight's the night, let's take the boat out. And I mean, this boat doesn't have seats in it, doesn't have lights. And he goes, we're going to wait till after dark so nobody sees us, and we're going to go out there. And I'm sitting there going, well, I really didn't think this moment was going to come. I thought we were just going to work on the boat. And so he hooks it up, we take it out, and I'm still relatively nervous, you know, about putting this boat in the water. But I'm trusting him that, you know, he knows enough about the boat that it's going to be all right. And he's back in the boat in the water, and he gets it in the water, and he's shining the flashlight looking for water coming in the boat. And he's like, I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to go okay. And, you know, he's got a milk crate that he's sitting on to drive the boat, because I've never driven a boat. And as we start to pull out, he goes, oh, wait a second. And he runs up to the front of the boat, and there's one life vest. And he gives it to me, and he says, put this on just in case. And so as he begins to get this boat going, and it's flying down the lake, and it's popping up and down, the whole thing, I'm just thinking, I'm having visions in my head of this boat just shattering apart, and we're stuck in the middle of the lake. And it didn't. But that's what God's really been speaking to me, is the storms and the... and. A few weeks ago, you all know I do fireworks. You guys have been there. And, Richard's here. This is a good part. one of my biggest fears during fireworks is always storms. Okay? Cause there's, you know, I have lots of tents up, and everybody asks me this. They asked me last year, you know, what insurance do you have that, but, you know, we have insurance that covers accidents or if somebody gets hurt or anything like that. But there's not an insurance company on the planet that will insure the fireworks that are in the tent. You know, it's a risk-reward thing. It's like taking $150,000 and sitting it outside and expecting that, one, somebody's not going to steal it, and, two, a tornado's not going to come along and suck it up. You know, so it's everybody looks at it and goes, oh, the fireworks is a lot of money. Well, it's a lot of stress, too. And this past year was probably the worst in 16 or 17 years that I've been doing fireworks that we ever had. You know, we had tornado go over the tent. I remember the first night, the night after we set up the church tent, and it was Richard that was watching the tent. And I was laying in bed, and I was just stressing about the storm. I was watching the radar. I mean, I wasn't sleeping anyway. They're talking about a microburst is coming, and it's headed that way. And I'm thinking about poor Richard at the tent by himself. And so I jump in the truck, and I'm flying down 291 just fearful of showing up and the tent just being on the ground and everything ruined. And when I get there, it's the wind's blowing, and it's starting to look like the storm. And then it was just all of a sudden it hit. And Richard and I are just running around. Tables are flying over, products flying. It's so bad that the you know, those little winged things like parachutes and so those are flying out of the tent. I mean, flying out of the tent. And I'm sitting there holding down a rope, and I'm looking over, and Richard, I mean, there's poles that are flying out, and Richard's holding on to a pole, and I'm holding on to a pole on the other side. And then all of a sudden, stakes are ripping out of the ground and flying around on the rope. And I'm like, Richard, get out of the way, get out of the way. And all I look over and I see poor Richard. He has a pole like this that he's hanging on, but it's no longer attached to anything. And he's running around going, I don't know where it goes. I don't know where it goes. And, you know, that was the first of like a set of three storms that year. You know, we had four tents blow down this last year. Or not all the way down, but that we had to reset back up. And it's something that I've always struggled with, is that peace in the storm. And a few weeks ago, I had a tent set up in November at the Independence Event Center. And wouldn't you know it, if you want weather, bad weather, wind, rain, you set up a tent and it'll happen in November, huh? Well, actually, Wyatt came into this that because I was, I'll be honest, I was cursing Wyatt that night because I thought he was praying for the wind and storm. No. Anyway, I had a frame tent set up, which is a little bit different than most of the fireworks tent. It's weighted by the event center. We couldn't have holes in the ground in the asphalt parking lot. We could have it on one side because there was grass, so we weighed it with giant concrete blocks. And, you know, at that day, that it was the day after we set up the tent, those winds start kicking in, and they were 70 miles per hour. And me and two other guys that had set up the tent were out there, and the tent is literally just lifting off the ground with concrete blocks on it. You know, they're coming a foot off the ground. And I'm sitting there just stressed about, you know, one, the event center was a big deal for my company. And then two, there's, you know, $40,000 RVs that are around because there were the circus members that had came in town. And I'm sitting there just having visions of this tent flying off into an RV or into the building and, you know, having to replace that. And I'm the two other guys, it got late into the evening and the wind's not dying down. We had brought in extra weight to hold down the tent. And I'm just sitting there in this Shriner's tent, walking up and down the tent, just praying to this storm. I'm just speaking calm to this storm that the wind's going to subside. And I don't know how long I prayed. I wasn't the only one in the tent at first, but then I think I scared them all off, or they were scared of the storm. I'm not sure. But then I started speaking to the people that were going to be in the tent. And then at, I don't know, it was probably 8 o'clock, I texted Joe, and I was like, man, something's wrong with my faith, because I'm speaking to this storm, and nothing's happening. It's just blowing. And at one point, I got a big, huge diesel generator that you guys see. We've got the tent strapped on one corner to that, my truck on the other, another guy's truck on the other corner. And the wind is actually pulling the bed of my truck and moving my truck across the ground little bits at a time. And I'm just sitting there looking at this going, there's no way this tent's going to stay up. It's just bouncing around. It's flying around. And I'm just constantly just between praying for the people in the tent and speaking to the storm, and nothing is happening. And I'm literally just getting frustrated. And Joe, you know, he's sitting at home in his lounge chair. He replies back, well, I think the guy that has the farm of windmills is praying against you. And And so as I'm sitting there, and I'm really just having a spiritual moment with the Lord going, what is wrong with my faith that this is just, and then what's the idea that every time lately I put up a tent and this happens, or there's just, and I'm really starting to gain a correlation of storm and life, and I can hear God starting to speak something different to me. And I heard him real clearly. He's like, that's not faith. He's like, that's not faith at all. What you've got is fear covered faith. You know, you're speaking it out, but what your actions are showing isn't faith. And I began, he's like, I could hear God say it, have you done everything you could do? And I was like, well, God, with the truck strapped to it, I've done everything that I know to do. And he's like, go home. And I was like, what? You know, what am I, if it blows over, go home. That's faith. And I went home, and honestly, I laid down in bed, and I slept like a baby. And I woke up the next morning and went back up, and the tent was still standing. It was still there. And as I began to really process what God was speaking to me, he brought me to the story in the account in Mark 4. And I know you've all heard it, but something that I just didn't pull out of it till recently. And I want to read it in Mark 4. It's the Jesus stills the sea. You know, Jesus had been speaking all day, and then it says, on that day when evening come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. And if you look, you know, every gospel except John has an account of this part of history. And they're pretty much the same all the way through there. If you look at Luke and Matthew, you know, Matthew's my preference. I think he was probably the most accurate. But the one thing that Mark doesn't say here is that Jesus got in the boat before the disciples, and he said, let's go to the other side. He said, leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they went to him, woke him, and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And what I've always gotten out of that, every time I've read it, the stories growing up, is that Jesus could get up and calm the sea, and that we have the same power that he does, so we should be able to speak to him or speak to that storm, and it should calm down. And what I felt the Lord saying was, if you look at this, you know, Jesus was asleep. He was asleep. He wasn't the one that woke up and said, we're going to perish. And I bet dollars to donuts, before Jesus ever got in the boat, he knew the storm was going to come. There were three big things that I got out of this. And one, it had to have been a miracle, because I could just see, you know, present times, the 12 disciples sitting on the shore, and you know, we don't know what it looked like, but if a storm came up as they were going around, it probably looked like there was a storm coming. And it was probably a miracle to get 12 guys to agree on how to get to the other side anyway. You know, now it'd be like, you know, Jesus, Brian Busby is saying, I don't think we should take the boat. But Jesus was already in the boat. He had already made the decision that that's the direction we're going. There wasn't any discussion. But a lot of times I'm sitting on the shore going, Jesus, I don't want to get in the boat. I see what's coming and I don't want to get in the boat. And he says, let's get in the boat to go to the other side. And Jesus was asleep. That's the part that just kept coming to me. Is that I honestly believe that the only reason he got up is because he wanted to go back to sleep. And they weren't going to let him sleep. They were just flaying around, buckets, pouring water, going, God, you got to stop this or we're going to die. And Jesus like, why are you so afraid of the storm? I was in the boat and I was asleep and I'm not afraid. I'm the one that told you, let's go to the other side. I knew there was going to be a storm. But you think that I'm going to let you perish. And that to me was just like, it was just profound. It's something I've struggled with all my life, that I believe I'm in the will of God, but yet I don't want there to be a storm. And if there is a storm, I'm got the bucket and I'm bailing water out and I'm going nuts trying to control everything I can to prevent what's going on in the storm. And Jesus is going, just go to sleep. The other thing that I saw in that is, I mean, how many of you have you ever been in a situation where you're just appealing to the Lord over and over and over, and you're just saying the same thing over and over? God, I need this. I need you to do this. I need you. And there's no answer. You don't hear anything. Well, sometimes in that is the answer, right? May not be the answer that we want, but it's the answer. So I'm sitting there in the tent going, God, stop the wind. Stop. I need it to calm. I'm speaking to this. And God's going, the storm's necessary. Because if you look further on down, the very next verse in Mark chapter 5, it says, they came to the other side of the sea into the country of Gerasenes, whatever that is. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. So I'm betting if the disciples had had their way and going, Jesus, there's a storm coming. We shouldn't take the boat. Let's walk around to the other side. But sometimes the storm is getting you where you need to go faster. And the storm was a necessity. But we're in the storm going, calm, wind, calm. Calm down. And God's saying, did I tell you to get in the boat? Number one. Did I tell you we were going to the other side? Well, if I told you we're going to the other side, we're going to make it to the other side. We're not going to perish in the middle. So don't wake me up. But there's a part in there that he spoke to me after that. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 6, you all know this. It's the scripture about putting on the armor of God. It says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, right there, having done everything. So when I was in that tent, I had done everything that I knew to do. Done everything God told me to do. Told me to go home and go to sleep. So I needed to be able to find that place of peace in the storm. And sometimes, at least for me, the only peace in the storm that I see is a piece of the boat floating by and going, whoa! If you read on, it says, having done everything to stand, what do you stand on? But in the physical, what are we standing on? Our feet, right? Our feet. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with what? With the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then it says, taking up the shield of faith. And if you go back up, the point I wanted to emphasize is having done everything to what? Do what? On what? Peace. That's the foundation. We're not going to control the storms. And for me, you know, it seems like the storms are all the time. And I've constantly tried to battle the storms. And God's saying, Matt, the storm is necessary. Get a hold of my peace and stand on that. The storm's in your job, your bills, your family, your children. They're going to come. But the two important things are listening. Did God say to get in the boat? Where did he say to go? The other side. But you have to stand on peace. And then all these things, like if you looked at, put on the full armor of God. There's a list. Do everything that you know to do. And then having done all that, stand on my peace. Now there's the other side of that where we try to stand on peace when we haven't done everything that we know to do. Lord, how am I going to pay my light bill? I'm praying over this that God, that my lights aren't going to get shut off. But yet I don't have a job. Lord, my cholesterol is out of control. I've got to do something with this. Father, I'm speaking to this cholesterol to go down. Well, Matt, stop eating cheeseburgers. Go to the gym. And then having done everything you can do, stand on my peace and sleep. That's all I got.
Some sound men have a lot of authority back there. I don't have authority. It made me think of, you know, at the end when Jesus had, you know, he was cooking some fish and the disciples got out of the boat and came and he was talking to Peter about the love, you know, Peter, do you love me? And I think it's John's gospel that records this. He said something to the effect of Jesus to Peter said, when you get old, you're going to be led, you're going to go somewhere, you know, be led by, against your will. But I think what sometimes we overlook, he actually said when you get old. Which means Peter was like, he can take faith in that. I'm going to grow old. I'm not going to die early. And I was thinking too of the storm. Matt, I'm not going to take but just a second here. And then I'd like for you to pray for us and then pray for any of those that would like prayer, especially in this time with any fear. But you know, I think I mentioned this last week. I've been going back and studying Abraham and Sarah and the covenant again. And I've always found this fascinating that, you know, in this incredible time God has with Abraham and he's changing their names and they're going to be a blessing to nations. They're going to have a child. I mean, this is an incredible time that he tells Abraham that, oh yeah, by the way, that your offspring are going to be slaves in a whole nother country for 400 years. That's part of the covenant. That brings smiles to your faces. And I know you got excited, but he told them that beforehand. That was part of the whole covenant. I think sometimes we just misunderstand God, his ways and how he does things. There are storms that will arise that the Lord will say to speak to. And there's others, like Matt was saying, and I think that's the one that we miss a lot of stuff. It's just stand and go forward, continue. There's storms in our nation. There's storms in the world today. And some storms are going to continue to rage and even get more fierce. But we have a promise from the Lord. We know how this ends up. But we want to be the people that have the peace, that have the answer, that have the presence of God with us. So we can reap a harvest. We can change things and be ready for the things that God wants to do and the change and the supernatural works that God wants to do in the midst. If we're all balled up in fear trying to hang on, we're going to miss what God is saying. We're going to miss seeing what God is doing in this time. And so this is where I believe we're at. I think this is such a timely word. It was such a great word that we need to really grasp. And I want to encourage you just to listen to it again. Take some of those scriptures and get them into your heart. So, Matt, I would just ask if you could pray for us, and maybe even any individuals that would like prayer as well, and anybody that's sick or not feeling well, and just kind of however you feel led to.
That thing that Joe just said that was pretty good is that that I kind of left out is that there are going to be some storms that God says speak to that, and we have that power and authority, but hearing. I mean, I sound like a Joe Parrot. It's hearing what God said. Jesus never did anything that he didn't what? Yeah. And Jesus didn't speak to every storm and calm it down. And that first storm that the disciples were in the boat, if you look, there's several accounts throughout the gospel of the disciples being in the boat and storms still coming. There's one when Jesus was up on the mountain and he was watching and he saw them straining against the water with the oars. And it says that he went down and began to walk. And it says he was going to pass them by. And they saw him and thought he was a ghost. And Jesus wants us to be trained to know the difference which storms we're supposed to speak to and which storms we need to go to sleep in. And like for my personal life, I'm even going through a struggle right now where I was trying to hold on to the tent so hard. And Jesus is saying, have you done everything you can do? Have you done everything I've told you to do? It's time to let go and just go to sleep. And sometimes that's painful. And it's a training. But if we have that peace that's our foundation, then we know that he's going to get us to the other side. So, I want to pray. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would just give us all a new understanding of your peace. That your peace is our foundation. It's what our we're made to stand on is your peace. And that, Father, that you would open our ears to clearly hear the storms that you tell us to speak to and the storms that you tell us just to ride out and trust me. And, Father, I thank you that you are a God of peace. And I thank you that your word says that we're already overcomers and that the God of peace will crush Satan underneath his feet. So Lord, just even in me, just begin to just grow that peace so that I can put all my trust, all my hope, and give me ears to hear clearly what you want me to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory be to God. Well, I just bless you with peace and soul and rest in your heart in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now get out. Go home.